Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I'm your host, Shane Miller, and today I have Michael Eisen, the founder and CEO of ConnectsYou. How you doing, Michael?
I'm great, Shane. Good to be here. Excited to talk shop here.
Absolutely, and you're calling from, I always forget the name of the city you live in or like how to say it, Raleigh?
Close, it's Raleigh, North Carolina. It's Raleigh. The capital. You probably learned about it in fifth grade.
Yes, probably. And I, for whatever reason, it didn't stick. but yeah, you know, please tell me a little bit about ConnectsYou. You know, I always say you'll do a much better job than I ever would.
Sure. Well, we've been in business for just over 10 years, and we are the only lead gen agency that focuses 100% on healthcare. So we have a number of clients who provide either a healthcare technology or perhaps healthcare consulting. And the commonality between all of our clients is the fact that they need to get into organizations that they can sell to. So this would be like hospitals, health systems, FQHCs, ACOs, health plans. And the challenge that they're faced with is getting that first 30-minute discovery meeting with a high-level executive to talk about the challenge that their solution perhaps could solve for. So we have a team in place that does great work to help these companies get their foot in the door and get that first 30-minute discovery call with a high-level executive. So it's all based around B2B sales, and it's helping these types of companies get in front of the right people so they can talk about their product or solution.
Got it. And so what, so your ICP, it isn't the healthcare facilities themselves, it's almost like vendors to the healthcare in the healthcare space?
Exactly. So the vendors are selling to the larger organizations, to the health plans, right? To the hospitals, to the health systems. And typically I would say our clients range anywhere from $5 to maybe $50 million in total revenue. That's sort of like our sweet spot. We have some clients that are larger and we have a couple of actually that are a bit smaller, but that's our sweet spot. Those are the size of company and organization that we typically work with. And they're usually technology companies.
Got it. So it's mostly, I know there's like the fintech for finances or something for health, health tech.
We'll call it health tech. I guess that works. Yeah.
So like software companies or, you know, got it. Okay. So that's cool. Yeah. Cause I know you mentioned that you had tried out some like lead gen agencies before, but the problem was that they were reaching out to the people that your clients should actually be reaching out to. Right.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a very nuanced ICP. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And so can you tell us a little bit about like your methodology towards generating leads for these clients?
Man, I could talk for days about that. There's a lot that goes into it. I would say what's super important, and I think what makes us successful versus other outfits that do similar work to us, is the fact that it is niche, right? We're the only lead gen organization that focuses 100% on healthcare. So we have that built-in healthcare business acumen, which really helps us in securing meetings for our clients. So when you talk about terminology like care coordination or interoperability or throughput, this is terminology that's specific to healthcare. You couldn't get any sales rep off the street who perhaps was selling in retail or in finance and just throw them into healthcare. It's a different animal. So I think what makes us unique is the fact that we have that built-in business acumen. We know the healthcare space extremely well. And in terms of like the way that we do this, our messaging is quite consultative. We're not salesy. We don't push. It is really about figuring out what challenges these executives have. And if they do have a challenge or problem that they need help with, if the client that we're representing can alleviate that pain or alleviate that challenge or solve it, then we go into a deeper discussion. So our methodology really is this white gloves consultative approach with this built-in healthcare business acumen that I think separates us from other outfits that do similar work and has allowed us to be as successful as we have been over the last decade or so.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And so can you tell me a little bit about how it might differ, like generating leads for your clients versus leads for yourself?
It's funny. It's not necessarily that different. We use what we call account-based marketing, right? So there's two thoughts to lead gen. One is like the spray and pray approach, right? So you have thousands of contacts and you're cold calling, you're doing cold outreach in the way of LinkedIn, email, and phone calls. And it's more of like a generic approach, right? Everyone, no matter if I'm calling the CFO at a large hospital, or if I'm calling the head of IT at a small regional hospital, it's very generic messaging. That is all said and good, but what we found to be most successful is this personalized, what I call sharpshooting approach. And that is understanding what is going on in the executive's world, right? As an executive, what's going on with their hospital or health system? Can I use a piece of news, let's say, to bring familiarity to the conversation if I'm cold calling them? Is there a quote that they perhaps said at a conference that I could use in an email or LinkedIn outreach or a cold call? What you really need to do, in my opinion, when it comes to account-based marketing is separate yourself and differentiate yourself from all the cold outreach that they're getting, because I'm sure you're aware, these executives are getting, I don't know, 50 to 100 emails a day. I mean, it's crazy how much flooding of the inboxes is done, but they're probably only getting maybe 5 to 8 phone calls per day, right? And it's really important to differentiate yourself and show that you understand who they are. You understand perhaps the challenges or pains that they're going through as an executive. And one way to do that is with account-based marketing. It takes a little more strategy. It's a little more manual. You can utilize AI to scrape news. But if I use generic messaging and talk about to the CFO the same way I talk to an IT director, it's really not going to move the needle. I need to know, hey, the CFO is concentrated on the dollars, right? Where like an IT director may be concentrating on the actual tech part or the implementation of the tech. So it's really persona-based, speaking the language that they speak to as an executive. And really talking to different personas in a different way, not having a blanketed generic approach to each person that I'm calling. Does that make sense? I probably just went on there.
No, it totally makes sense. And so on your end for the agency, are you doing the calling or do you have someone on the team who's mostly doing that?
We call it an SDR, sales development rep. I've been an SDR my entire career. I still do it today, all day, every day. I love it. But we do have a fairly large team of SDRs in place that do the majority of the cold calling. What I pretty much now at the point, we're trying to grow, of course, right? And so as we scale, I need to bring on more clients and I need to allow my managers and SDRs to do the grunt work, which is really the more difficult part of doing all that cold outreach. So while today I'm still doing cold calling all day, our SDRs are the ones that are doing that cold outreach in the way of emailing, LinkedIn, and cold calling.
Got it. And they're doing the sharpshooter approach that you're talking about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they are. And I'm doing it as well to try and get new clients. And I wouldn't do it. I don't really care how we get it done. We're very big on results, right? Whatever gets results works for me. What we have found throughout the last few years, that blanketed approach I spoke about earlier, where you just call everyone under the sun to get the name out of who you guys are, that may have worked pre-COVID. But now what we're finding more and more is we really need to do this sharpshooting approach, which is much more strategic with strategic messaging to each and every person that we're calling. So our clients, believe it or not, would rather have 4 or 5 meetings a month with the say-all and all decision maker than perhaps 15 meetings with what we call influencers in the decision-making process. In healthcare, and those of you out there listening that know healthcare, their sales cycles are anywhere from, could be 6 months to over a year. So if we get to the right person who's the actual decision maker, we can cut that time, that sales cycle almost in half, right? So it's super important, obviously, to get multiple stakeholders involved, but the quicker we can get to the actual decision maker, right, the person that, that has the purse strings and the ability to make that decision, that will cut down that sales cycle in half. And that's what we're aiming to do here.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And so for your own sales cycle, is it primarily you doing your selling, or like, you know, I guess how is it managed when somebody comes in, you know, from lead generated to close?
So I'm doing it all A to Z, but I also have one of my SDRs that calls on my behalf to schedule meetings for myself, but I'm still doing it today too. I mean, when I first started this, obviously I had zero clients when I started, and I was picking up the phone and hitting the ground and trying to get clients, the exact same things or activities, I should say, that I was doing 10 years ago, I still do today. It looks a little bit different now, but I'm still making calls all day long. I'm still sending out LinkedIn requests. I'm still dropping LinkedIn content and sending emails. So what we do today is not much different than what I was doing when I first started this company. But yes, I certainly am in the trenches. I'm doing a lot of calling. I'm doing the first demo call. I'm doing the follow-up, and then I'm doing the closing. And then once we close, we have a process in place that onboards the client.
Got it. Yeah. It sounds like you're extremely organized in your growth strategy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I wasn't when I first started, but I've made every mistake under the sun. And I've learned a lot from those mistakes. And I think at this point right now where I'm at, where we're at as an organization, if you're not organized, it's going to cost you. So yes, we are extremely organized at this point in terms of this part, the bringing on new clients for sure.
Gotcha, gotcha. And so, you know, I like to call the great, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we've got some great stuff, some good stuff here. So what about the stuff that is really just like scratching the back of your neck? I think that's a weird way. I don't think that's a phrase, but you know, what's something that, you know, you guys are really trying to fix within the agency?
That, you know,
growth easy.
Yeah. Good question. I mean, as you scale and as you grow, quality control becomes a challenge, right? So like when I had, I don't know, five clients and maybe two SDRs, I'm personally controlling everything. I'm not a control freak, I promise, but I sort of know what I'm doing. And so I was able to really quality control each and every client. As you grow and as you bring on 10, 20, 30 plus clients, I can't handle all that, right? So what I think we've really done a great job is putting a layer of management in place. Thankfully for me, I've had guys that have worked with me for years, and they're just awesome. And we've promoted from within, and that layer is still a work in progress, right? The quality control is not where perhaps I'd like it to be for every single client, but we're getting there. But if you talk about like what's hurting a little bit, it's making sure that that quality control is still in there. I can't be on every single client call. I can't answer every single client email anymore as we grow. So I think just making sure that you have that top line management in place, and it really starts with me. It starts at the top. And the way that I do business, I think my management team, because they've been with me for some time, hopefully some of what I've been doing has rubbed off on them. And in fact, I know it has. And so the way that they're conducting client calls is much like how I would. But still, I mean, quality control is something that is somewhat of an issue as we scale. And I just think it's really important to do your best to promote the guys that have been there, because I think that is helping keep our clients happy. There's familiarity with who we are, where we've been, and where we are today. So if there's the good, the bad, the ugly, I think one of those is quality control. It's a little tough to manage, but we're getting there. Growing pains, right?
Absolutely. I mean, how big is your team, would you say, now of like SDRs and management and whatnot?
Yeah. So right now we have four top line managers. We have a head of operations. Shout out to Brad, who's awesome. And we have 15 or so SDRs. So as we grow, and you know, hiring's another animal. You talk about the good, bad, and the ugly. Hiring's tough. The reality is in sales, I don't know for other functions at other organizations, but in sales specifically, you really don't know what you're getting until they're in seat. And so what we like to do here, we like to fail fast. If we see that there's red flags and we made the wrong decision, and we've certainly have done that before, You know, we'll let them go quite quickly. And the other thing is that I think we're doing a good job is continuing to educate our SDRs. In fact, we had an education session today where we did a lot of role playing and sales role playing. So yeah, as we grow, we have to continually make sure that our SDRs are where we want them to be. And that's continual education and making sure that, you know, if we're going to fail, we fail quickly with them.
Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of SDRs too, and you have to cut and run very fast. Like, so I completely understand that.
Yeah, and I'll say real quick, one last thing on that. The reality is with SDRs, the majority of them are right out of college. That's their first job. You know, they might be hungover, dialing for dollars, don't understand sales cycles. So it's really important you get the right people with the right DNA makeup that really want to learn. They, if their first job is to make money, if they want this job to make money, it's not a good fit for them. I like the guys that are and girls that are very competitive and are looking just to learn sales. I think ConnectSU is a great place for that because you roll up your sleeves and you get right into it. And those are the folks that last longer. And those are the folks that move on, whether with us or other organizations that do well in sales. I want them to be money hungry. Don't get me wrong. Like sales is big about money. So we want them to be money hungry, but I think number one priority is they want to come into this role and really learn this first part of the sales cycle, which I think can propel you to being great at sales, A to Z selling when you start carrying a bag.
Got it. Makes sense. And so, you know, my I always ask this at the end of every podcast. My last question is, you know, what would be your number one piece of advice to somebody who is starting a company or an agency?
I would say make decisions quickly, right? Don't delay decision making. You know, what is that? Analysis by paralysis, right? So make decisions as quick as you can. Doesn't mean you don't need to do the research, but make decisions quickly. And if you realize you made the wrong decision, you can always pivot. And I would say just roll with the punches. And what I mean by that is, you know, even today, but when you lose a client, to me, it's like a death in the family, right? Like I get depressed over it. I certainly want to learn from it. What went wrong? What could we have done better? But you got to get over it quickly. So I usually take probably half a day to mourn. I get upset. I get depressed. And then the very next day, I'm up and at it. So I would say for folks that are starting a business or getting to that growth mode, you got to roll with the punches. Not every day is going to be awesome, but there are going to be days that are awesome. So you know, and it's not that they're few and far between. I think we just got to make sure we roll with the punches and just get to work, right? Just don't let that affect your day to day. And you'll be fine. And last thing I'll say is try your best to find good mentors, folks that have been in business before. I lean on a couple of them. I'll call them and I'll have quarterly calls with them every now and then and tell them what I'm doing and they'll give me their, unbiased insight. So if you can find a nice little network of sales leaders, or it doesn't even have to be sales, business leaders, I'd certainly lean on them as well for support.
I think mentorship is so important. So I absolutely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, good to hear.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much for joining. If you'd like to learn more about ConnectSU, their website is going to be in the podcast description. Again, thanks again, Michael.
Good stuff, Shane. Thanks. Talk soon.